A series of highly secretive meetings are taking place in Leesburg, Virginia, this week between the United States and eight other Pacific Rim countries. The negotiations concern a trade agreement called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, which would, according to Bloomberg, create the biggest trade zone in U.S. history. With an agenda focused on furthering corporate interests, the trade negotiations have had virtually no involvement from any public groups, although 600 pro-business lobbyists have been given passwords to view online versions of the negotiations. Amnesty International, the Sierra Club, the AFL-CIO, and are among many public interest groups that have voiced serious concerns over the issues being covered in the negotiations, and over 130 members of Congress have signed a letter calling for more transparency. Most of the public's knowledge about what is being drafted in the TPP has come from leaked documents. Analysis of these documents show how the TPP may possibly limit the production of generic drugs and affect free speech on the internet. The closed-door talks could also potentially move more American jobs overseas, as well as allow foreign corporations to appeal to an international tribunal rather than subject themselves to U.S. laws. While legislators in Japan are reluctant to join the TPP, Canada and Mexico will become part of the group starting next month, and China is currently deciding whether or not to join the group. U.S. officials are promising a public comment period and a congressional review once the talks are complete. Joining me on the phone is Lori Wallach, director and founder of Public Citizens Global Trade Watch. Welcome to Uprising, Lori.
Hello. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to jump off in just a few moments, but I will be turning it over to my campaign director on TPP, Melinda St. Louis, because I'm in the thick of the talks, and I have negotiators coming up actually asking to talk with me. So please start.
Well, tell us how you describe the TPP to our audience who may have never heard of this.
The TPP is not really about trade. It's comprised of 26 chapters. The U.S. would be required to conform all of its federal and state law to these chapters, which constrain financial regulation, require us to import food that doesn't meet our safety standards, would subject us to international corporate tribunals where domestic laws could be challenged outside of our courts. And I am going to have to jump off, and here is our campaign director, Melinda St. Louis.
Welcome, Melinda.
Hello, thank you.
Tell us exactly, actually, what Lori is doing.
Well, she's just been approached by one of the lead negotiators from one of the TPP countries who would like to talk with her about some of the issues that are being negotiated. So it's really we provide both technical assistance to some of the negotiators as well as to educate the public about what this agreement may mean.
And what do you mean by technical assistance to the negotiators? Aren't the negotiators the folks who are actually discussing this in secret?
Yes, they are negotiating in a secret. We do not have access to the text. We stand outside of the negotiations in order to try to provide whatever input we can without having access to it. So that's why we know the little that we do know is from talking to people around the sidelines. However, there are 600 corporate advisors who have complete access to the text. They have the passwords to be able to actually comment and to be a part of the process, whereas civil society organizations and organizations in the public interest do not.
Now, the negotiators, I understand, are actually country representatives, right? But then you've got these business lobbyists who can weigh in?
Yes. Yes, the negotiators are government officials from each of the TPP countries. The lobbyists are not in the room with them. They just have access. The U.S. has the U.S. Trade Representative's Office has a process of for cleared corporate advisors to be able to comment on the text and to have access to it.
Now, which are the countries that are involved? I mean, if this is a Trans-Pacific Partnership, it includes Pacific Rim countries, but also the U.S. and very soon Mexico and Canada?
That is correct. There are, with Canada and Mexico joining soon, there will be 11 countries that are part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership talks. the Malaysia, Vietnam, Brunei, Singapore, and Asia, Australia, New Zealand, Peru, Chile, and the United States are all have been part of these talks. But importantly, it also is intended to be what they call a docking agreement, which means that any country in the Pacific Rim, if they agreed to the rules after they're negotiated, could join. So Japan has expressed interest, though there's a lot of at the official level, though there's a lot of opposition in Japan, other Asian countries as well, and including the U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk has actually said he would love nothing more than for China to be a part of the TPP eventually. So we are really looking at an agreement or a deal that, if it comes into effect, would affect up to 40% of the globe. So it actually is much more far-reaching than the countries that are negotiating now, though they are the ones who are going to set the rules for the rest of those who may eventually join.
Who is allowed to actually contact the negotiators? Bloomberg is reporting that Friends of the Earth, along with groups like General Motors and Ford Motor Company and Chrysler, have been allowed to make presentations at the secret meeting.
Well, they have a. There was a stakeholder of 3 hours on Sunday. At the beginning of the talks, they had an opportunity for stakeholder presentations. Each were allowed up to 10 minutes to make presentations. There was also tabling. This only happened where stakeholders could have tables. And again, this is. So negotiators were able to come. Unfortunately, the way that it was set up, there were only 18 chairs per room, and many of the negotiators said that they actually weren't even able to get into the presentations, even though they were interested in hearing them. So while we did participate in that and think that it's important to try to engage however we can, it is vastly less than what is needed in order to actually have true public debate, and particularly because the text is secret. And so all of the input that we're able to give is only based on the leaked. There actually have been some texts that have leaked, and that's where we see a very discouraging direction of the negotiations in terms of potentially increasing medicine prices through extending drug patents of pharmaceutical companies so that generic drug companies cannot compete, and so that would increase drug prices. And for people living with HIV and AIDS around the world, this could actually be a death sentence. We have seen concerns about the copyright provisions, which would increase the policing of the internet and to reduce internet freedom. There's a lot of concern around what this could mean for wages and environmental standards around the globe, and also major concerns. There was a chapter in leaked about investment, which would empower corporations to be able to attack consumer safety, environmental protection, and public health laws in foreign tribunals. So all of the things that we're seeing are very concerning, and we also have been arguing that it's incredibly important that if this is going to be an agreement that supposedly for the 21st century, as they're claiming, that there must be public input and actually a real public debate, which is what has not happened up until this point.
Well, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, speaking yesterday at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum in Russia, said this free trade agreement is central to America's economic vision in Asia. By reducing market distortions and leveling the playing field, the TPP will raise the bar for competition in a way that benefits every economy in the region, whether it is an active partner in the TPP or not. I mean, of course, this sounds similar to promises made during NAFTA negotiations. How do you respond?
Well, this is always the line that is parroted when in talking about these trade deals. But what's important, I think, is what Lori Wallach said right at the outset, which is that these deals are actually they are touted as trade deals. But of the 29 chapters that are being negotiated here, only 2 of them actually have to do with trade, and actually have to do with what you would think of in terms of tariffs or in goods and services. The rest are about actually extending corporate power through the back door of ways that they aren't able to get it through through our democratic system. Mm. But it's also very important to note that even on the trade data for the United States, that you look across the board with these trade deals with NAFTA, now recently the Korea U.S. free trade agreement. And actually, while imports may increase or exports may increase a little bit, imports in the United States have increased by much more. So when you look at the net, it's actually a net job loss for the United States. And I think that it's actually very disingenuous when our government officials try to tout these as job-creating agreements, because they absolutely are not.
And this is based on the fact that because many of the countries that would be part of this partnership have perhaps weak labor laws, also very much lower costs of living than in the U.S., lower salary levels than in the U.S., and so goods could be produced far cheaper, obviously in countries like China, which is still considering whether or not to join the TPP. That's already happening with China, but even countries, other countries in this group, versus the United States. That economic pressure simply sends jobs overseas, right?
Well, that's absolutely true, but then it actually encourages offshoring even more when they put in these provisions, like what I mentioned in terms of the investment provisions, that allows foreign investors the opportunity to go to foreign tribunals to attack laws that they think affect their expectations of profit. So for corporations that go overseas to a country that may have weak laws and so forth, if the country decides to pass an environmental provision to actually protect their water supply or something like that, the corporation can actually sue the country for compensation in foreign tribunals. And so all of the risk that corporations take when they offshore, they actually want to get rid of all of that risk. And so that in and of itself actually increases the probability that corporations will actually take their jobs offshore when they don't have to worry about any changes in the regulatory framework in those countries. And so you're absolutely right that in terms of just the basic economics of the race to the bottom in terms of wage and working conditions is a concern, but then you also see these additional giveaways to corporations that choose to offshore jobs in these agreements.
Well, I'm wondering how this agreement is being viewed outside the United States, because not only, of course, could American jobs be lost, but these sorts of agreements do have the potential to worsen working conditions in poor nations. There was an editorial in FreeMalaysiaToday.com about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, called America's Hidden Agenda. And their analysis is that it's all about China. I'll quote, "It appears that the whole idea of the TPP was born out of U.S. contempt for the Chinese economic rise in Asia and in the world. Hence, to stem the rise of the most populated nation on Earth, the Americans want the entire Asian bloc to join them in, quote, killing China economically." Do you agree with that assessment, or is there any grain of truth in that?
Well, as I mentioned, the U.S. Trade Representative himself has said that he would love nothing more than for China to actually eventually be a part of TPP. So what you see is kind of the officials talking out of two sides of their mouths. On one hand, I think to try to sell this to the American public, they are pushing the idea that this is a way to contain China, but the U.S. corporations that are behind much of the TPP actually very much want China to be a part of it. So I wouldn't agree completely with that analysis, though I do think that there is some sense of that is some of the political posturing that's used, for example, in the U.S. Congress to try to sell this, to say that this is a way to try to contain China, when in fact it's really a way, the eventual plan is to see China's markets as an opportunity for U.S. corporations.
Hmm. Now, these documents that are the working draft of the agreement have been in negotiations for a number of years, 5 years, I understand. The negotiations began in 2007. They're still being kept secret from the public. Earlier, when I mentioned that Mexico and Canada are about to join the TPP, do you see this agreement as a major expansion of NAFTA? And how would it sort of supersede NAFTA?
Well, those are very good points. Actually, the United States has been a part of these negotiations for about 3 years. It initially started between actually just a couple of the Pacific Rim countries themselves, and then the United States joined to kind of make it more of the kind of the TPP that it is today as it's being negotiated. But yes, indeed, we were actually considering this a NAFTA on steroids even before we saw Canada and Mexico agreeing to join, and now that characterization is even more appropriate. Canada and Mexico, as part of the U.S. Canada and Mexico, is the North America Free Trade Agreement, but this would in many ways supersede. It's actually quite complex because there are actually free trade agreements between many of the Trans-Pacific Partnership countries already. And so that's part of the complexities of this negotiation is seeing where the TPP would supersede some of the other trade agreements. Those who are behind TPP, the corporations that are very much pushing for this, intend to be able to achieve through TPP things that they were not able to achieve through some of these bilateral negotiations and with NAFTA. And so obviously some of the quote-unquote 21st century issues that they're talking about in terms of internet, some of the electronic commerce that wasn't actually part of, was actually even happening during NAFTA and some of these other agreements when they were negotiated, it's an attempt to try to lock down for corporations these new frontiers, as well as to, for example, extend patents beyond the 20-year patents for drug monopolies, which is what is the agreed-to international standard currently under the World Trade Organization. They want to extend that. They want to be able to actually extend those monopolies even further than has been negotiated in the past. So the idea, they keep calling this ambitious. They want all sectors to be covered. They don't want there to be any exceptions. And so this is a way to really try to cement this model that we would argue has actually shown that it has been a failure in NAFTA, but to actually expand it instead of to rethink it, to learn from the lessons of the past, and to try to actually promote a fairer trading model.
Finally, Melinda, how likely is it that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will succeed? It's not clear if China will join, and supposedly Japan is not very happy about the idea of joining either. Will it go ahead if there's just a few countries, or will it fall apart unless everybody joins?
Well, I mean, I think that remains to be seen. What's very clear is that despite the intent for the talks to have concluded far before now, and then most recently they had been the U.S. Trade Representative been saying they wanted to conclude them at the end of this year. Already they're talking about it going far into 2013. There's a lot of controversy at the negotiating table. That's part of why Lori was being pulled out as she began, and on many different issues. And it is quite complex. There are and citizens around in TPP countries are standing up and saying this isn't the type of agreement that we want. And so we very much believe that this is not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination, and it's now that folks should get involved to get educated about it and to really stand up, because unfortunately in many of the areas it's actually the U.S. government that's playing a very extremist role in pushing some of the most extreme corporate centered proposals, and it's time for people now to stand up and to learn about it and to get mobilized.
Give out a website for Global Trade Watch.
There is, in order to learn about TPP, I encourage folks to visit www.tpp2012.com, and that will take you to the part of our website that talks specifically about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and has opportunities to take action.
tpp2012.com. We'll link to that from our website, uprisingradio.org, later today. Melinda, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Melinda St. Louis is the campaign director at Global Trade Watch, and we've been talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.